pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Monday morning. Hour number three is now underway. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, we'll hear from Paul Prine, the former Mobile police chief. Also, he was, I believe, candidate for mayor and sheriff, but he'll talk to us in about 30 minutes. We've been spending some time on the Pritchard situation. It seemed like we could talk about this at any given point throughout the last 40 years, and no one really has a good answer. It's funny because that situation's probably, with maybe the exception of Bessemer, unlike anything in this state. It's one of these places you don't necessarily go to unless you need to go to for some reason. It doesn't. I mean, and so people, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But it's a real possibility. It could be, we could wake up one morning and it's just a lawless jurisdiction. Now, you may not see it right away. It's not as if it is chaos and, the clock tolls midnight, and then all of a sudden the looting and the rioting begin. But over time, people figure it out. This is where Montgomery went wrong. They started scaling back police patrols as more and more officers walked away from that situation. And, the criminal element kind of looks around like, oh, there's nobody. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm just going to go in and shoplift, or I'm just going to go. And then, I'm just going to fire off my gun in the air. I'm just going to do X, Y, and Z. Nothing's going to happen to me. And then it's like the snowball effect. It's rolling downhill, and that's what I think could happen if this is just sort of a situation where people are like, well, we tried, and they shrug their shoulders and just see what happen. Because that's sort of what's happened there now. I don't live there. Not really my problem. But what if? I mean, what if that continues to happen? That continues to be a thing, and it spills over into other jurisdictions. So I'm eager to see what the response will be. It's obviously not going to come straight out of the municipality itself. They could convene the city council and they could pass a bunch of laws. They just don't have the money to spend on the resources needed to maintain law and order. And they don't have a tax base. It's whatever they do get federal money or some kind of grant or whatever from a higher level of government, it's squandered. It's corrupt. And yeah, sure, there's repercussions, but it's not really deterring that behavior at all. It just isn't. You get a new regime in and the same problems take place. And how do you break that cycle? Jason, what good are any of the ticketing camera systems if the offenders choose not to pay? Municipalities provide fine forgiveness programs. Seems pointless, and Mobile has done this thing twice recently. I don't know. I mean, some people will pay it, I guess. Some people will say, hey, you know, I parked here last time, got a ticket, or I ran this red light and got a ticket. Maybe I won't do that again. Scrovering, all of the No Kings kooks have been discussing how Pritchard became what it is, mostly blaming white flight. They ponder how it could improve, but aren't flying their white world-changing selves over there. I don't think the No Kings protesters, a lot of them probably even know if I've ever spent much time there. Do you think Penis Costume Lady is doing her grocery shopping in Pritchard? Probably not. I mean, all of these ideas they have work at a certain level, like when everybody's on board. That, no, they would, maybe they think we just need one big world government or whatever. But that's just not the way our system is designed. But I'm telling you, that to me, and I don't know what the solution is. It's not as if we could go in there and enact some kind of right-wing ideology and things would get better either. There's a human element. Maybe part of it is just the secularization of society and the government filling a lot of the needs. And not a higher power. But somebody tell me, like, I mean, what would you do? The name Texter says he has a solution. Build a wall like you escape from New York. You can't do that. You know you can't do that. Pat writes, it's not a fine forgiveness program, it's a warrant forgiveness for missing court twice. Unnamed texter, hey, Jeff, think about all the good folks that have been suffering in Pritchard for years. Does anybody even care? Extremely sad and bothersome. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, have this on the front of my mind on a daily basis. You live in a place where you pay higher taxes. You try to do your part to take care of your community. You have a little civic pride. You don't litter. You do the right things. You want to live in a place where people respect the law and the cultural norms. In some places, that's just not on the agenda. Human behavior. Is there a one size fits all government program that can correct behavior? Maybe it's a culture problem or something. These are long term aspects. Long term fixes. Okay, we'll get more Jesus in the classroom or whatever. Well, it's going to take a while. In the meantime, people need to be able to go and come freely, not have to live under the threat of some kind of home invasion, carjacking, drug deals in their neighborhood, on their street corner, theft of property on a regular basis. And then that's where you start getting a little more corrective action. But that's my sense of it. In the interim, you need, like, okay, we just got to stop the bleeding. Then we'll operate on the patient. Daniel writes, elections have consequences. I suppose But what I do know about elections and politics is a lot of times those who are running for that office don't do what they say they're going to do. And if you have a situation that's stable, that is not erratic, then, yeah, the elections have consequences aspect as the elections have consequences, yes, but what do you do now? How do you fix it in the short term? Just stop it. This is the Bob Newhart clip somebody showed me. Stop it. You just don't do this anymore. That's their problem. Well, this is not going to be their problem if it continues to get chaotic, Daniel. It will spill over. It's sort of like the Mexico-U.S. border and the lawlessness in northern Mexico. It starts to spill over into the United States. And then suddenly we're in the middle of it. What do you say to those people in Mobile and Chickasaw that just trying to, they don't have a say in Pritchard government? I hate to be ugly, but Pritchard is a Mobile problem. I mean, I think it is. I don't, and there's just nothing you could do. You say elections have consequences, but you see, you don't need a lawless state on your borders. Now, I don't know what's going on here with the city of Pritchard and the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Is this being used as leverage as a way to get the city to have more buy-in and whatever the sheriff's office has to do? Maybe. But the sheriff's office doesn't have a statutory obligation necessarily to perform police functions, the job of the municipal police. How do you people feel who live out in the county and with all the county issues and public safety and knowing that some of these resources could be pulled to take care of this? Everybody, it's a Mobile County problem. Because you're having to foot the bill through your tax dollars, whatever they are, that go to the sheriff's office. And they're having to put your taxpayer-funded resources in a municipality. And you're not really getting anything back for it other than just knowing it's not going to spill over into your neighborhood. But that's everybody's on the hook here. It's the same thing with Montgomery and these MAC units. They're very high on. But the entire state's having to kind of chip in and do something with it. Daniel also writes, disband the city. They aren't smart enough to govern themselves. You can't just disband a city. I mean, it has to be done by a vote. And then they lose all those services and all the municipal services. Are people going to want that? Probably not. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door? From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we got Will Hampson, a couple other guests to be named later. So make sure you tune in for that. But joining us here in just a moment, Paul Prine, formerly of the Mobile Police Department, will talk Pritchard. What needs to be done there? Let's keep rolling here. Jason, has Mayor Spiro had any public comment on Sasser Pritchard or not? He needs to. I have not heard. But, I mean, there's only so much he could do. I just, like, wonder, like, could you expand the Mobile Police Department into Pritchard? Would there be a financial incentive? Even if the state or the federal government had to foot the bill, rather than deploying a National Guard or even the county sheriff, you pay the city of Mobile, and they seem to have a better handle and a better ability to recruit police officers. Maybe. Don, good morning, Jeff. Change the subject, if you don't mind. I look forward to your second show this Wednesday on Tiger Talk Overtime. Being the game is in Atlanta, you think Auburn will certainly have a home field advantage attendance-wise? And what do you predict the spread to be? I'm calling it Auburn by 10. That sounds about right. Probably not quite that much, maybe a little less, but certainly more than a touchdown. And the tickets aren't cheap. Contemplating going, I'm not crazy about Auburn taking a home game, what should be a home game away, and moving it to Atlanta. Even if they're generating NIL money, why can't you generate NIL money in your home stadium? And what does it do to the local economy when you take a home game away? Having worked in Auburn on game day back in the day, I mean, it was I worked at the those of you who are familiar with Auburn, back in the 90s, I worked at the Auburn Grill. Now, it's not there anymore, but it used to be right next to Tumor's Drugs. And it was all hands on deck on game day. It did all right the rest of the year, maybe broke even, but they really made their money on those game day weekends. And, there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm just not crazy about this. You do it for one game. I mean, what are we going to start doing it for, like, even bigger games? Moving the Auburn-Alabama game. I think Georgia Tech does some of this, too. Think about Georgia Tech and Georgia playing in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is just, like, 5 miles away. But, yeah, that sounds about right. Maybe a little under 10 points. I don't know. Baylor, we played Baylor last year. They were expecting more of a pass offense. And then once they, that didn't happen. They ran the ball. They scrambled. And then it was all downhill from there. Even South Alabama gave Auburn a run for its money. Ask Pride if he's interested in positioning Pritchard. Has he been asked by anyone of substance? Yes. Yeah, the whole thing that got me interested in talking to him about it was Andrew Ramey NBC 15 story about it. Don, I think the Yellowwood alumni has something to do with it. I mean, Jimmy Rain, Don, it could be a lot worse. It's not, there used to be a far more booster presence, but then the program was in better shape. Jimmy Rain may have some sway over the coaching and some of the NIL, but I don't know. One more here before we get to our next guest. College football is now little like NFL. You could get used to it or stop watching like I did. But I still have my allegiance to Auburn University. That's not going to go away, even if the business model has changed, Daniel. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Curtis Slow was the finest pickup to ever play the blues. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on What's Left this Monday morning. Text line still open, time permitting. I'll get to your text, 251-343-0106. So hit us up there. Let us know or react to what's to whatever we're talking about and what's on your mind. Joining us now, as the aforementioned throughout the program, but he's a former police chief in Mobile. Also, he's run for public office, but seems to be the guy folks want to talk to pertaining to the sort of ongoing saga of Pritchard. But Paul Prine joins us on the line. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good morning to you. I hope everyone's having a great Monday.
Hey, we appreciate that. Have you recovered from election season?
Well, let me tell you, having run two elections back-to-back, it is grueling to say the least, and I am not sad to see it pass.
You're a better person than I for enduring that, just having watched it from the sidelines for years. Sure. Let's start here. And, you know, I've certainly been talking about it all my life, and I'm 50 years old, but the situation with the city of Pritchard and the sort of deterioration over the decades of this law enforcement presence, and now there's no presence, it seems, except for almost like charity from the sheriff. But you look at that situation, I guess I just ask, kind of give us an assessment of where things stand right now.
Well, you know, I'm just like you and everyone else that's not employed or on the inner circle politically with Pritchard. So I'm just speaking strictly from what I see in the news media and, of course, speculation. But it just seems to me that, Pritchard has had a problem politically and with a failure of leadership, certainly over many, many years. And that usually starts from the top down. And I think you're just seeing it. It's manifested itself for years. And, the people elect different politicians from time to time in hopes that, you know, they're going to come in and right the ship. And it just seems to be more of the same problem as the years go by. Of course, I grew up in Pritchard. And I can remember some of the better days in Pritchard's back in the 70s and the 80s, but it just seems like since maybe the mid-80s, it's just continued to decline to the point where now you just see where a police department is completely folded.
Yeah, it just exists, and I don't know how seriously people have taken it since the mid-80s, as you say, but we're kind of at the peak here with no police and the sheriff threatening to walk away, and I don't think that would just happen. I suspect there would be some kind of outside response, or maybe the state or something. But Paul, the just getting a handle on it, and where do you even start in that kind of situation? I couldn't even fathom that.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this, certainly with a mayor that's in her first year, and I know her, but with her in her first year, she has a golden opportunity and a monumental task ahead of her to turn things around. And while things look dire, not only for the police department, for the city, she can certainly turn it around. But she's going to have to surround herself with people that are skilled and competent in various fields, whether it's policing, fire protection, public services, finance, those things that really do matter. But above all else, if she's going to right the ship of the police department, she has got to get somebody in place, preferably a chief, even an interim chief. And I know that perhaps one of the captains has taken over, but you have got to have somebody with the utmost integrity to come in and right that ship. And I'm just afraid, and again, it's speculation, Jeff, But I'm just afraid that a lot of times when politicos get these positions, egos sometimes get in the way, and hiring somebody that's going to do the job with the utmost character and integrity for the people is not always a desired trait for some of these politicians. And I say that a lot of times with respect. You're going to have to bring in, they're bringing in obviously a consulting company, and that's probably a positive start. But I'm also concerned about that because it looks like maybe this company's from D.C. And as if you look at some of their background and some of the verbiage they use is very, very left-leaning and liberal verbiage. Doesn't mean they don't have the capacity or the ability to hire the right people. But there are some really strong candidates out there that can come in. But most importantly, the council and the mayor does not look like they're working together, and they are going to have to come together at the table and learn to compromise with one another. And if you really want a strong police department, you've got to give them unwavering support, both operationally and certainly through funding.
Well, let's talk about the funding. Where do you come up with the funding? Now, it seems like they've tried in the past, but you know how these things go and talk about politics. And, you know, it's just we've had a lot of corruption over the years. But If you could get past that, I can't imagine what the cost would be, because it's like this, Paul. Like, who wants to go work there if you're, you know, trained law enforcement officer, and you got a family, and you don't know, like, this is a municipality teetering on the brink. It doesn't seem like the best of jobs.
No, it doesn't from the outside looking in, but I'll certainly tell you the first thing, whoever the chief and the mayor are going to have to sit down, and you have to get a real good understanding about what the budget is for public safety, in particular the police department. And that seems to be where a lot of the gray water is, if you will, in this whole saga with Pritchard, is you don't really know how much money's coming in. There's roughly $22 million a year. How much of that is going to be allocated to the police department? I don't know. I mean, we've seen the sheriff provide services, and yet there's been no contract. Apparently, there was kind of an informal agreement about monies being paid. But you've got to get a good footing of how much money is going to be allocated. You know, Pritchard, from the last stats I looked at, Jeff, had about 18,000 people as far as population, and that's declined about 2.5% over the last 5 years. And if you do a general formula of what the Department of Justice kind of looks like, and it's not a standard, but it's kind of a general formula of 2.5 officers per 1,000 constituents, you're looking at about 45 officers. I don't know that, you know, the city of Pritchard can sustain that, but certainly they could sustain 25 to 30 officers. And if they can find a way to make the salaries compatible with other jurisdictions in Mobile County, there are still some young people that want to, you know, maybe perhaps use Pritchard as a stepping stone. But if you get the right leadership, you'll be able to reduce that attrition and keep people on the payroll. But it really all hinges and falls on leadership. And without having a baseline of where the budget is, there's just really no way to tell what Pritchard can and cannot produce. And that includes hiring a competent chief that'll come in and right the ship and become professional and build trust in the community and all the things that we certainly expect from a professional law enforcement agency.
Well, and so you get a plan together and you start trying to do this, but this seems like a several year solution, maybe a 3-4 year solution to get. But right now, how do you stop the bleeding?
Well, that's an excellent question. She has got to get a chief of police in there that's going to come in, build policy. And I'll be frank with you. There's three things that a really good chief is going to have, right? First and foremost, you're going to have a chief that has strong communication skills and be able to build relationships within the jurisdiction and the county, not necessarily just with law enforcement, but certainly with the politicians and, most importantly, with the community. The second thing the chief has got to have is a strategic vision and decisive leadership, and that's got to be proven. So if this consulting company is going to come in here, Anybody can put anything on a resume, but these candidates should be able to prove and provide information statistically that says, hey, this is what I've accomplished. And most importantly, I can't tell you enough about integrity, and you're going to have ethical leadership at the top. The problem with ethical leadership, sometimes it scares those that are in charge of these government operations, because a lot of times they're not doing the things they are supposed to be doing. But if she's willing to do those three things, she'll find the right chief to come in. And I hear you, and I agree with you. It's probably going to take 2 to 5 years to really get Pritchard where it needs to be with its public safety. However, you can write that ship and you can set course with that ship, I would say, within 180 days. She needs a 6 to 12 month plan, and you need measurable benchmarks along the way that tells not only the government, the council people, the mayor, but it also tells the people, here's what we've done, and we're being transparent with you, and here's where we're going, and be able to show those benchmarks along the way for success.
Can you make some kind of level of accountability? Because clearly what was there in that police department was not ethical or criminal or whatever, at least allegedly. And, you know, what's a good check and balance here? Because can the city of Pritchard, the council and the mayor, are they going to be capable of making sure that this stays within the framework?
Well, I think it gets back to what I told you. The two things that really needs to be done is the unwavering support of operations. The chief is going to have to put together a strategic vision of decisive leadership with benchmarks from the next 6 to 12 months and accomplish those. You know, we've heard a lot about the evidence room, you know, and trying to get that back up and running. It sounds to me like, one, if you put the right leadership in place, you revise the policies of the Pritchard Police Department with the standard practices, and there are organizations that would, you know, do the accreditation of the agency to ensure that that agency is using the best management practices. You can turn it around in short term, but getting past the 2 to 3 year mark, it's got to be sustainable year over year over year. And, you know, I've always said we've seen certainly with the chief and some of the other officers, both criminal and ethical and improper conduct. And improper conduct is just violating your own policies. The tail always follows the head. And now, if these things are true about these officers and what they did, they should be held accountable. But this is also why it is imperative that the chief of police be above reproach, because if he's no-nonsense, policy-driven, and doing the things right by the community, you can rest assured every officer down through the rank and file will follow his or her lead.
One more question on this, and you mentioned this consulting firm and it having some maybe left-of-center tendencies, but, like, what do they not need to do? I mean, you know, you hear these mayors sometimes talk about that in this sense that they – maybe we need a social worker or something like that involved. But, like, what was the red flag there when you mentioned them and that concern about a DC consulting company?
Well, you know, DC in and of itself is very, you know, liberal, left leaning. Have some liberal, left leaning policies for sure, and we've seen that certainly with DC police and the revolving door, not only in the police department, but certainly in the government over there. But, you know, when you drive policy through your organization that talks a lot about DEI, and those things are important, but if that is your goal, then rest assured you're not really looking, in my opinion, for the most qualified applicant. You're looking for somebody that the leader has reached out to employ you to say, here's who we're looking for. So to your greater question, what do they not need to be doing? You know, if the mayor is really serious and the council serious about public safety, you know, I would just argue against going in with this consulting company and telling them, hey, it's one thing to say this is what we want. And I think I did see one leader say we're looking for integrity and professionalism and all the things and the benchmarks that you hear. But if you go in with this mindset of these liberal tendencies that, you know, we're looking for DEI policy and we're looking for women or we're looking just strictly for minorities to fill this gap or this role, that creates a problem because then you're not necessarily getting the most qualified person that's going to do the job. You're getting somebody that perhaps maybe the leadership of the city or the organization is looking to control, especially in public safety. And if that is the case, it's still just lip service because it's so disingenuous to the citizens of Pritchard who desperately want all the same things that you and I want, and that's to be safe as they live, work, and play in their own community.
Last question, and it's kind of not really related to any of this. Flock cameras, law enforcement, as a law enforcement tool, what's your take on this saga?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, Jeff. It's a great question, and I've seen a lot of the rhetoric, not only local but nationwide. I will tell you this. Even when I was the chief, we used flock cameras in a very limited role and capacity. And the reason we did so well when I was the chief in reducing crime, we had a 38-year low, is because the flock cameras gave us the ability to kind of dial in and move in towards some of the hot spots where some of the violent crime was happening. And we used it in very limited roles. But it allows us to identify people and vehicles in a very quick turnaround process where we can effectively make the arrest a lot quicker than maybe in years past. The problem I believe that we're seeing wholeheartedly is, and we've seen this with the city of Mobile, you know, and the whole saga between me and the city, you know, when the former chief of police that is still in the current administration was controlling the intelligence unit. There was no reason to have all this control and exclude the chief of police from it. It opens the door for impropriety, not saying that maybe there was, but it does open the door for impropriety for those that want to misuse the system. And I'm a little conflicted because I'm also a constitutionalist. I don't believe that society should give up all its rights and privacy and privileges just for the sake of public safety. And unfortunately, politicians push that narrative, and every time they want to spend money or do things that maybe not necessarily affects the public in a good way or could be misused, they always run on this idea that, oh, it's for public safety and it's for protection, and they do this because, well, it sells and people like it. I do believe there's a place for it in law enforcement. I just believe it has to have strict oversight and strict policies, and there has to be some teeth with legislation through state law to be able to prosecute the people if they're found abusing the system in any manner, shape, or form.
Paul, got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for hopping on this morning. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Jeff. Take care, and y'all have a great week.
Paul Prine, ladies and gentlemen, former police chief for the city of Mobile. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Run, you never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret is it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Monday morning. Real quick here, Peacock, can you bring on anyone from Pritchard? We could try. Mike writes, also, even if you got rid of the blight in Pritchard, turn entire place into a data center, still not fixing the problem. The people would just be relocating Pritchard's issues with wherever they want them to go. DI Texas, probably listed great reasons why he shouldn't be the new chief. And then finally, unnamed texture, you can't have a city run properly when the majority of citizens are on welfare. Thank you for that social commentary. Unnamed texture, coming up tomorrow, Will Hampson, a couple of guests to be named later, but coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
I was going to say more data centers might fix it, but interesting discussion. Do you think Pritchard's higher-ups are going to go with somebody like Prine, or you think they're going to do a national search for, you know, how that stuff goes?
I don't know who else would want the job.
No, and you said that.
Like somebody with the local buy-in at least has a connection to the community, right?
Well, we've talked about that for the officers, too. I mean, it's just, just being frank here, y'all. I mean, that through the years where law enforcement was looking for people, I mean, they were doing all kind of incentives and looking for people. Why would somebody go there? They paid less. They didn't have retirement. It was a tougher job. Why would they go there? So the people that were there couldn't get a job somewhere else. Same thing would be true at the top position, right? Unless you incentivize it, why would you want to go try that? I mean, I'm asking that so not many just rhetorically. Let me know. I mean, why would you want to try it?
There's just so many other jobs where they need help that just are a little bit better situations where you're set up for success and not for failure.
Right. So you go, I mean, you know, if you're doing a national search on people and looking at different jobs and pay, who are you getting that decides to come here unless you throw a ton of money at it, which they don't have?
Yeah. That's the other question. Like, where do you come up with this money to do some of these things that need to be done? It's a problem that has just gone on and on for too long. And now it's at a breaking point, and it's just going to be more cost prohibitive because of that.
Yeah, 100% agree. We will talk about that some coming up on Midday Mobile. First up though, Todd Stacey joins me and Senator Katie Britt on the show. We'll talk about some of the things she had to say on that interview on Capital Journal. Also, how we doing here? I thought we had gotten rid of the majority of their ability to fight back, but Iran, you know, somehow found some rockets and launched those. We'll talk about that. And what's up with the getting your suppressor, getting your what used to go through the process with ATF? Is it all go now? Can you just show up and buy them? We'll talk to Jeff Stone from Stone Arms about that at 1 o'clock.
All right, guys, y'all stay tuned for that. It's time for me to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, once again, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.